This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون جزاكم الله خيرا for coming to the حلقة tonight. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless your efforts and may He bless your steps. Tonight we'll be talking about the Dajjal. It doesn't mean that he will be the first sign to appear. Actually, the ulama did not agree about specific order of those 10 major signs that were mentioned or included in the hadith that we mentioned last time. And we said that the ulama have agreed about, you know, these 10 signs. And one of them is the Dajjal, the false messiah that will appear at the end of times. But all of them agreed that An-Nar, the fire that will appear in the south of Yemen, in Hadramaut, will be the last major sign before the Mahshar, before the Qiyamah, Wallahu Ta'ala A'lam. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will allow at the end of times for the appearance of two messiahs, Al-Masih Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, and Al-Masih al-Dajjal. So both of them are called Al-Masih. Both of them are two messiahs, but Isa alayhi salam is the messiah of guidance, Masih al-Huda alayhi salam, and the other one is the false messiah or the Antichrist or the Dajjal in general. People, when they say the Dajjal, they mean the major Dajjal, because there are Dajjajila. In Arabic, plural word of Dajjal is Dajjajila, the Dajjals. And a Dajjal coming from a Dajjal, which is Al-Kadhib, or Kadrat Al-Kadhib. Yani he will be, Dajjal is, it means lying, and fabricating, and manipulating things. So there will be many liars actually who will claim that they are prophets and messengers before the coming of this major, you know, fitna, the fitna of a Dajjal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send him as a major trial for humanity. And people will be tested with their faith. And who is he? So we need to clarify who is a Dajjal tonight. Because if you go to the internet, you'll find that the Dajjal is described in many different ways, interpreted in many different ways. So we need to look at the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and come up with conclusions. Alhamdulillah, our scholars have come up with these conclusions. We're just going to go through them, inshallah, to clarify this issue so no one will be confused about who is a Dajjal. The first information, that he is a human being. He's a human being because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described him as a human. He's a human being. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so he's not a monster. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give this human being special powers to test people at the end of times. This is the story of a Dajjal. And many ulama believe that the appearance of al-Masih al-Dajjal is the most important sign of the Day of Judgment. Because they said his trial or his fitna will be the biggest ever seen on the face of earth. And they said even people of belief and iman will be shaken. People who have faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have some doubt because of these powers that will be given to a Dajjal. And of course, everything will happen with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his fitna is so great that to the extent that every prophet, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every prophet has warned his people about the fitna of al-Masih al-Dajjal. But they didn't give all the information. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to provide some information that the other prophets and messengers did not provide for their people. So in a famous hadith, he said, alayhi salatu wassalam, no prophet was sent but that he warned his followers about al-Masih al-Dajjal, or against the one-eyed liar, al-A'war al-Kadhab. This is the ibara, or the statement that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used. And this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, he said, no prophet was ever sent to him, except that he warned his people about al-A'war al-Kadhab, the one-eyed liars. And of course, you know, one-eyed here, we'll talk about it. He had two eyes. But why did the Messenger of Allah said one-eyed? We will, inshallah, discover this. We will come to know this when we talk now about the description of a Dajjal. What are the signs of his appearance? There are three ahadith. Two of them are authentic, about things that will happen right before his appearance. And one of them, we're not sure about its authenticity, yani the sihha of al-hadith, if it is sahih or not. That's why I'm not going to mention this hadith tonight. The first hadith is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, before, there will be three hard years before the appearance of the Dajjal. Three hard, tough years before the appearance of the Dajjal. So he said, during them, people will be stricken by great famine. This is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith. During the first year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will command the sky to withhold the third of its rain. And will command the earth to withhold the third of its produce. And he said, in the second year, Allah will command the sky to withhold two-thirds of its rain. And the earth to withhold two-thirds of its produce. And he said, in the third year, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing, will be testing people at the end of time. Allah will command the sky to withhold all of its rain. So he said, not a rain, not a single drop will come down to earth. And the earth will command the earth to withhold all of its produce. And he said, no plant will grow, and all hoofed animals will perish, will die, except that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills. There will be a few things left to people. Now the people that came, the question that came to the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, a question, if the sky will be withholding the rain and the earth will be withholding the produce, no vegetables, no fruits, what will happen to people? So the question that came to their mind is, what sustain people during that time? What will be their food? And this is amazing, because and this is a hadith sahih. Imam ibn Hajar qal, ذَلِكَ زَمَنٌ تَنْخَرِقُ فِيهِ الْعَادَاتِ. This is how we should understand this event. Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, who explained sahih al-Bukhari, a famous scholar of hadith, he said, ذَلِكَ زَمَنٌ تَنْخَرِقُ فِيهِ الْعَادَاتِ. يعني, it is a time in which the laws of nature will be destroyed, will be gone. So people will be living in a different way. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what was his answer? He said, people will live with tahleel and takbir and tahmeed. Tahleel is saying, La ilaha illallah. Takbir saying, Allahu Akbar, and tahmeed saying, Alhamdulillah. So he said, this will sustain them just as food does. So people will survive with dhikr. And this is something that is amazing. Yani, it's very difficult to understand. But the hadith was collected by Ibn Majah and Ibn Khuzaymah, and it is found in Sahih al-Jami' al-Saghir. Yani, Sheikh al-Albani, rahmatullah alayh, said this hadith is sahih. These are the 3 years before the appearance of Dajjal. The other hadith that was classified as sahih, and it is found in Musnad Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawud, and Al-Hakim, in it, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Sheikh al-Albani insisted that this hadith is sahih, but there are some scholars who had some doubt about it. I mentioned the three fitnas. He mentioned three major trials. One of them is fitnat al-ahlas, and it's not time to talk about these things now, but he mentioned these names: fitnat al-ahlas, fitnat al-sarra, and fitnat al-duhayma. Al-ahlas is, some ulama explain it as continuous calamity or continuous trial. And the Asara is from prosperity and wealth. People will be happy. And Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned that the fitna will be triggered by someone who claimed that he belonged to the Prophet ﷺ. But Rasulullah ﷺ said they have nothing to do with him. إِنَّمَا أَوْلِيَاءِ الْمُتَّقُونَ. You know, my people are the people of taqwa. Because Rasulullah ﷺ obviously is not pleased with the fitna of this man who claimed that he belonged to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm not going to go through this hadith, but at the end of this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the third fitna, which is a duhayma, a black and dark fitna. Duhayma means black and dark. And he said in it that the person will be a believer in the morning and he will meet the night as a disbeliever. يصبح فيها الرجل مؤمنا ويمسي كافرا ويمسي مؤمنا ويصبح كافرا. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم has mentioned this statement many times. He said until the people will be divided into two camps. I think we mentioned this last time. People will be divided into two camps. حتى يكون الناس فسطاطين. فسطاط إيمان لا نفاق فيه وفسطاط نفاق لا إيمان فيه. He said until people are divided into two camps, a camp of faith and iman with no hypocrisy in it, and a camp of hypocrisy with no iman in it. Now people are mixed. People are mixed. That's why it's difficult now to do many things, because people are mixed now in different countries in the Muslim world. But the fitan will happen, will keep happening until people are tested until people are divided into two camps. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, at the end of this hadith, if this happens, then await the Dajjal on that day or the next day. So this fitna will happen and people are tested until they are divided into two camps. The camp of al-Mu'mineen, and for sure al-Mahdi will be, Imam Mahdi we talked about last time, will be with them. And the camp of al-Munafiqeen, and maybe the Dajjal will be leading this army. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Now, what are the physical attributes of a Dajjal? So Rasulullah ﷺ in many ahadith, and they are found in Bukhari and Muslim, here I have to make a disclaimer. If these ahadith were controversial, I would never talk about Dajjal. If these ahadith were controversial, I would never talk about Dajjal. And you will have no courage actually to talk. If you are not confident about the information, you shouldn't give it to people, right? But here, most of these hadith are found in Bukhari and Muslim. And everyone knows that they are the best sources of knowledge or the best sources of ahadith, right? So we need to go back to these sources and learn this knowledge. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was eager actually to teach his ummah, to warn the ummah about the fitna of al-Masih Dajjal and other fitnas. So here in this hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna rabbakum la yakhfa alaykum." Allah is not hidden from you. That means you should have known His attributes and His name, Subhanahu wa Taala. Just going to the Quran, back to the Quran, study the Quran, you will be able to know Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, His names and attributes, His power, Allah Subhanahu wa Taala, His sovereignty. So he said, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَيْسَ بِأَعْوَرٍ, and He is not one-eyed. Well, al-Masih al-Dajjal is blind in the right eye, and His eye looks like a protruding grape, or swollen grape. So one of His eyes will be completely defected, and it looks like floating a grape, وَاللَّهُ تَعَالَى أَعْلَمْ. And He said, بَيْنَ عَيْنَيْهِ مَكْتُوبٌ كَافِرٌ, and this hadith in Bukhari and Muslim. So there will be a word that is written between his two eyes, and he said this word is kafir. In a different version, he spelled it out and he said kaf and alif and fa and ra, the word kafir in Arabic. And in the version of Imam al-Muslim, he said yaqra'uha kullu mu'minin katib wa ghayru katib. He said every believer will be able to read this word that is written between his eyes, whether he is someone who is able to read or someone who is illiterate. So this is actually a gift from Allah, or a power that is given to this mu'min, this believer, and he will be able to read this word. And when Ibn Hajar, when talking about this hadith, He said, actually, ذَلِكَ زَمَنٌ تَنْخَرِقُ فِيهِ الْعَادَاتِ. Laws of nature will be gone, will be destroyed. And we'll talk about some of his powers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him to test people. So in a different hadith that is in Sahih al-Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, while I was sleeping, I saw myself in a dream. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw himself in a dream doing tawaf around the Kaaba. And he said, I saw a handsome man with straight hair and water was dripping from his head. So I asked, who is he? And they said, they replied. Who replied? Allahu alam. In the dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa there could be angels. Wallahu ta'ala alam. We're not sure about that. But they said, they replied, the son of Mary. That was Isa alayhi salam. He was handsome. And he said, I turned my face. He's talking about a dream that he saw alayhi salatu wasalam. And there was a stocky man. Yani a fat man. We use this word these days. A stocky man with red complexion. Yani his skin is red. And with coarse and curly hair. And his eye was deformed that looked like a floating grape. This hadith is found in Sahih al-Bukhari. And he said he resembled to someone, his name Ibn Qatan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew in real life. And he's from the qabila of Huza'a. So he said the man who resembled al-Dajjal is someone whose name Ibn Qatan from the qabila of Huza'a. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met this man before. He knew him. And he said this man resembled al-Dajjal. Now here, what is the conclusion that we can derive from this hadith? First of all, the dreams of the prophets are part of wahi, for revelation. You need to know that. You know the dream that Ibrahim alayhi salam saw in his dream that he was commanded to sacrifice his son? He believed in it because the dreams of prophets are part of wahi and revelation. The second important conclusion here, that this description does not leave any room for those who like to explain or interpret the Dajjal to be a financial system, to be a country, to be a movement, organization, or to be just symbolic. Because there are some ulama actually, they said Dajjal is not. They looked at the hadith, they couldn't understand them. Here we're not talking about reason here. Forget about reason here and scientific evidence. There is no room here for scientific evidence, for reason. Here, faith. We need faith. That's it. And as I said, if this hadith were not in Bukhari Muslim or were controversial, we will not talk about them because it's difficult to understand these things. And I'll tell you about few things that are very difficult to understand. But you cannot use, when it comes to Iman, we need both. Alhamdulillah, we said in our deen, we have both. We have things that we can understand with the power of our intellect. Like, مثلا, the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not something that we just believe in it. No, we have enough proofs in this universe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that there is a creator, supreme power that created this universe. And He is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because no one is able to create this universe and this power and this beauty in this universe. We looked at the Qur'an, the evidence of the Qur'an, that we have no doubt about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he was the prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you just go deeply and study his life and you study the Qur'an, you'll have no doubt about, you know, about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and about the mission of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what you need to do. And also the accuracy of the Qur'an. These three things, alhamdulillah, we are comfortable with them. But there are things that you can't understand. Like Ya'juj and Ma'juj, we'll talk about them. And it's very difficult to understand their existence. Where are they now? We'll talk about these things. And the Sadd, or this dam that was built by Dhul Qarnayn, and all these things, they're found in the Qur'an. Dajjal, there's nothing about Dajjal in the Qur'an. But he was well described in the Sahih al-Bukhari and Sahih Muslim and other sources of hadith. So here, I would like to clarify this issue and emphasize this issue that he is a human being, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted some special powers. He will send him as a fitna to people, to test people at the end of times. He's not a country, not an organization, not a symbol of evil. No, he's a human being. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described him very well. And don't listen to those who are saying otherwise, because you have proof from the Sunnah of Rasulullah. You don't have to believe Hassan Shabbani, but these are ahadith from Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim. So I'm not saying believe me, listen to me, and don't listen to Imran Hussein. You know it's Imran Hussein, right? By now, you know. And other scholars or other people who are trying to come up with, they couldn't understand this ahadith, or they felt maybe these ahadith are weird, difficult to understand, so they try to come up with a different explanation. Israel is the Dajjal and all these countries and those things. No, you can't. It's, the evidence is very strong from the ahadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, that he's a human being, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him, I wouldn't say bless him, actually he will be cursed, he will be in hellfire, he will die as a kafir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him some, give him some special powers as a test to a human being at the end of time. Now, is the Dajjal alive right now? Was he alive at the time of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam? So before we answer these two questions, we need to look at two stories, two important stories, and they are confusing. But because the ahadith are authentic, Bukhari and Muslim, so we need to mention them. The story of Ibn Sayyad, or his name is Ibn Sayyad, or Ibn Sa'id, or Abdullah Ibn Sayyad. He was a Jewish boy who was born in Medina at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the story of another man who lived in an island. He was chained in a monastery in an island. And his story is mentioned in the hadith of Al-Jassasa. This hadith is famous. The ulama talk about the hadith of Al-Jassasa because it is in Sahih Muslim. You go to the kitab, the chapter, Kitabul al-Fitan wa Ashrat al-Sa'a. Kitabul al-Fitan wa Ashrat al-Sa'a in Sahih Muslim. The book or the chapter of trials and the signs of the hour. Al-Imam Muslim included all these ahadith. And of course, Al-Bukhari, he has his own chapter in his Sahih about Al-Fitan and Ashrat al-Sa'a. So you'll find most of this ahadith there, inshaAllah. Now, Ibn Sayyad, as I said, he was a Jewish boy who lived in Medina at that time. Ibn Kathir, rahmatullah alayhi, said he accepted Islam. Yani this boy grew up as a non-Muslim. He did not believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was alive. But he accepted Islam after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So, and his son Umara is the son of this man, Ibn Sayyad, or Abdullah ibn Sayyad, was a noble tabi'i, and Imam Malik narrated some ahadith from him. Imam Malik narrated some ahadith, not from Ibn Sayyad, from his son. His son is Umara. And Imam al-Dhahabi, who was a very qualified, highly qualified scholar of hadith, he said about his biography, he said his father was a Jew who lived in Medina, and his son Ibn Sayyad, when he was born, he said he was born with a defected eye. That's why people had some doubts about him. And he was circumcised. He was born circumcised with a defected eye. This is the statement of Imam al-Dhahabi. And he said it was said that he was a Dajjal at the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, or he could be the real Dajjal or the future Dajjal. Wallahu ta'ala alam. But he accepted Islam, so he is a tabi'i who met Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yani when he met Rasulullah, did not become Muslim, otherwise he would become a Sahabi. Right? But he did not, you cannot call him a Sahabi because he did not accept Islam at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He accepted Islam after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they called him a tabi'i who met the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And his son is a tabi'i, Umara, but his son was well respected in the city of Al-Madinah. So what is the story of this man, Ibn Sayyad? He was a fortune teller. Yeah, from a young age. When Rasulullah ﷺ met him in the first time when he was 12, 13, 14 years old, he was a boy who was about to reach the age of puberty. And Rasulullah ﷺ heard about his stories that he's telling people about the future. He's a fortune, you know, practicing fortune telling. So Rasulullah ﷺ wanted to test him, and he went a couple of times to his neighborhood to listen to him. and to have a discussion with him and to talk to him. He was someone who used to mix between truth and between falsehood. This is the actually the practice of fortune tellers. They get some news from jinn and they mix between the truth and between falsehood. And as I said, he became known in the city of Medina that he could be the Dajjal, or the false messiah, or the future false messiah. Wallahu ta'ala alam. The messenger of Allah was not sure about his status. He did not receive any revelation about him. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died while not making any clear statement about Ibn Sayyid. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, but he did not make any clear statement about Ibn Sayyid. Some other Sahabis were highly confident that Ibn Sayyid will be the future Dajjal. Like one of them is Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiyallahu anhu. So one time he went to his neighborhood and he tested him. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Ibn Sayyid, "Atashhadu anni Rasulullah, do you witness that I am the messenger of God?" And Ibn Sayyid said, "Ashhadu annaka Rasulul Ummiyin, I bear witness that you are the messenger of the illiterates." Because the Jews at that time, Jewish people used to call the Arabs in their neighbor, in their area, Al-Ummiyin, the illiterate, the people who cannot read and write. Because they used to take pride in their Judeo-Christian origins, that their Hebrew origins, and they had the scriptures, knowledge about the scriptures, and they received many messengers and prophets. And so anyway, so this boy told Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ashhadu annaka Rasulul Ummiyin." Thumma qala Ibn Sayyad, "Atashhadu anni Rasulullah." So Ibn Sayyad talking to the messenger of Allah, "Do you bear witness that I am the messenger of God?" So Ibn Sayyad telling Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asking him. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam rafadahu, yani he rejected his statement, and he said, "Amantu billahi wa rasuli, I believed in Allah and his messengers." Faqala lahu ma tara. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "What do you see?" Because he was telling people about things, different things, weird things, and telling them about the future. And so he told him, "What do you see?" He said, "Ara yatini sadiq wa kadhib." So he said, two people, one of them is saying the truth, one of them is lying, a liar. These two people are coming to me, and they could be jinns, wallahu ta'ala alam, coming to me and telling me things. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal khulita alayhi al-amru, yani he is confused. He's someone who is confused, just leave him. Anyway, this is a long story. I'm not going to talk about the details, but this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was trying to do with this man. Jabir radiallahu anhu, who used to believe, another sahabi, he used to believe Ibn Sayyid will be the future Dajjal. He said Ibn Sayyid disappeared on the day of Al-Harra. The day of Al-Harra is the battle of Al-Harra that took place in the year 63. It was a civil war, an internal civil war. This battle took place between the forces of Yazid ibn Muawiyah from Damascus. Yazid ibn Muawiyah. Well, Yazid was not a Sahabi, but he was the son of a Sahabi. His father is Muawiyah, radiallahu anhu. And the people of Al-Madinah, who rejected his leadership and his khilafah, and they refused to pledge allegiance to him. It was an internal, a civil war. So, Jabir ibn Abdullah, radiallahu anhu, he said, this man, Ibn Sayyid, disappeared. There is another narration that he died in Medina, and people prayed janazah for him, and he was buried in Medina. Ibn Hajar, he said, the second narration is not true. So he confirmed the statement of Jabir that he disappeared. We don't know what happened to him. He disappeared at the time of Al-Harra, Allahu Ta'ala. Now, was he the real Dajjal? Was Ibn Sayyid the real Dajjal? As I said, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not sure about him. He was not able to pass any verdict about him. He simply did not receive any revelation, even though some Sahabis were very confident and they were saying that he is the real Dajjal. But Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did not say anything. He did not reject their statement, and he did not confirm it. So he just kept quiet, alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is one of the proofs that he is the messenger of Allah. That if he doesn't get any revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't speak from his own desire, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was not afraid to look as someone who doesn't have knowledge. I didn't want to say the word ignorant about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But if he doesn't know something, he doesn't talk about it. he doesn't give an answer. He said, La Adri. And he would wait for Wahi. During the expedition of Tabuk, some of the munafiqeen, hypocrites, after Rasulullah SAW lost his camel. So now he's the Prophet of Allah, the Messenger of Allah, receiving Wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, telling people about what will happen till the Day of Judgment, and he doesn't know the whereabouts of his camel. He doesn't know the place of his camel. Right? So that was the statement of some munafiqeen. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. I am only a human being. I speak, you know, about the revelation that I receive from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I don't have knowledge about something, then I will not talk about it. And then after a while, he received some revelation about the place of his camel, and he told two sahabis, go and look for it in that place. They went and they found it there. So this is a proof. There are many proofs that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the messenger of God, alayhi salatu wa sallam. So now, there are, as I said, some sahabis who used to believe that Ibn Sayyid could be the future Dajjal, or could be the Dajjal, but he himself used to feel offended when he hears people calling him a Dajjal. As I said, he accepted Islam after the death of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there is an interesting story about him with Sa'id, Abi Sa'id al-Khudri. They were going from Mecca from Medina to Mecca to perform Hajj or Umrah. And he said, you know, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said, when we stopped in one place and people dispersed, and I stayed with him. He said, but I did not feel comfortable staying alone with him. So he said, and then Ibn Sayyid came to Abu Sa'id al-Khudri and told him, أَمَا قَدْ لَقِيتُ مِنَ النَّاسِ يَزْعُمُ أَنَّنِي الدَّجَّالِ. He said, people are hurting me. They are saying or they are claiming that I could be, I am al-Masih al-Dajjal. أَلَسْتَ سَمِعْتَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ يَقُولُ أَنَّهُ لَا يُولَدُ لَهُ. Rasul صلى الله عليه وسلم told us about Dajjal that he will be childless. He will have no children. قَالَ قُلْتُ بَلَى. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said, yes. He said, oh yes, of course, I heard the Messenger of Allah saying this. He said, فَقَدْ وُولِدَ لِي. يعني I have children. And one of his children is Umara, as I said, one of the Tabi'een. And then he told him, have you not heard Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that he would not enter Medina and he would not enter Mecca? And he said, you know, I came with you from Medina and I am heading towards the city of Mecca. So that was the argument of Ibn Sayyid. And then at the end, he said, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, he said something that confused me. At the end, he said, well, ama wallahi, إِنِّي لَأَعْلَمُ مَوْلِدَهُ وَمَكَانَهُ وَأَيْنَ هُوَ الْآنِ قَالَ فَلَبَّسَنِي وَفِي رِوَايَةٍ قُلْتُ تَبَّلْ لَكَ سَائِرَ الْيَوْمِ. هذا الحديث موجود في صحيح مسلم. So he said, at the end of the story, Ibn Sayyid told Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, by Allah, I know his place of birth. Talking about the Dajjal. And I know where he is right now. So that means he was alive based on this story, but this is information coming from Ibn Sayyid. But we will mention another hadith which might confirm this statement that he was alive at the time of Rasulullah. Is he alive now? That's a different story. We don't know about that. Allahu alam. We don't have knowledge about that. Abu Sa'id al-Khudri said when he said this, he confused me. This guy confused me. And then he, in a different riwayah, he made a dua against him. He said, تَبَّلْ لَكَ سَائِرَ الْيَوْمِ. May you perish for the whole day. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. طيب, the conclusion now, there was no clear conclusion about him. The ulama did not agree about him. Some of them believed that he could be the Masih al-Dajjal himself. In the future, he will appear at the end of times as a Masih al-Dajjal. And some ulama refused and rejected this opinion, and they have their own proofs. Now, the second proof that the ulama used is Hadith al-Jassasa, that is in Sahih Muslim. And this hadith is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one time was in the masjid praying, leading Muslims in a prayer. I'm not sure it was Dhuhr prayer or Asr prayer, but there was a man, his name, Tamim al-Dari, he was Christian, and he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he accepted Islam. Most likely he was from Palestine, the area of Sham. He came to the Messenger of Allah, accepted Islam, and he told him about a story that happened to them. Happened to him with a group of 30 people from the area of Sham. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So in this story, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa said, after he prayed or led the prayer in the masjid, he asked everyone to keep seated in the masjid. And the one, the Sahabiya who narrated this hadith, her name is Fatima bint Qais. MashaAllah, she memorized the whole hadith. I'm not going to mention the whole hadith, it's a long story. But I'll mention the most important parts of this hadith. Fatima bint Qais, she's the one who attended this salat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she was able to memorize the whole hadith. And this hadith was narrated by some other sahabis. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, أَمَا إِنِّي وَاللَّهِ مَا جَمَعْتُكُمْ لِرَغْبَةٍ وَلَا رَهْبَةٍ ولكن جمعتكم لأن تميم الدار كان رجلا نصرانيا فجاء وأسلم فبايع وحدثني حديثا وافق الذي كنت أحدثكم عن الدجال عن المسيح الدجال. He said, by Allah, I did not keep you here for exhortation or a warning. I need to tell you about Jannah and about the rewards of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or to warn you about something in you. يعني it is something that I told you about, this information you are familiar with. But here this man, he's a Christian, or he was a Christian, Tamim al-Dari, and he came and he accepted Islam, and he told me about a story that confirmed what I told you before about al-Masih al-Dajjal. So he said, حدثني أنه ركب في سفينة بحرية مع 30 رجلا من لخب وجذام فلعب بهم الموج شهرا في البحر. He said, he told me that he sailed, this man, Tamim al-Dari, radiallahu anhu, he became a Sahabi. He said he sailed in a ship along with 30 people from Lakhm and Judham, two tribes from the area of Sham. He said, and had been tossed by the waves of the ocean in an area for 1 month. And they were lost in the middle of the sea for 1 month. ثم أرفعوا إلى جزيرة في البحر. فجلسوا في أقرب السفينة فدخلوا الجزيرة فلقيتهم دابة أهلب كثير الشعر. So he said, لا يدرون ما قبله من دبره من كثرة الشعر. So he said, these waves took them near a land in the middle of the sea, which is an island. And they were able to reach this island at the time of sunset, الغروب يعني. So they sat in a small side boat, you know, those small boats that people take with them when they sail on a big ship. And they entered the island. So they found there a beast with a long, thick hair. And because of this, they could not distinguish its face from its back. Adil Jassasa. Allahu alam what is the nature of this beast. But it was speaking to them, saying it. Because I don't know if it was she or it or he, but in the other parts of the hadith, they would use قالت, she said, والله تعالى أعلم. فقالوا ويلك ما أنت قالت أنا الجساسة. قالوا وما الجساسة. They said, woe to you, who are you? And she said, I am, or it said, I am الجساسة. The name, she gave them this name, الجساسة. So they said, what is الجساسة? She did not give them any answer. But she said, أيها القوم انطلقوا إلى هذا الرجل في الدير فإنه إلى خبركم بالأشواق. O people, go to this man in the monastery, and he is eager to know about your news. He was waiting for people to come to this island to talk to them, have a discussion with him, and maybe he wanted actually to know the answers for some questions, and we will know the kind of questions that he will ask them in this hadith. قال الراوي, the Tamim al-Dari who mentioned this hadith, فَانْطَلَقْنَا سِرَاعًا حَتَّى دَخَلْنَا الدِّيرِ فَإِذَا فِيهِ أَعْظَمُ إِنسَانٍ رَأَيْنَاهُ قَطُّ خَلْقًا وَأَشَدُّهُ وِثَاقًا مَجْمُوعَةٍ يَدَاهُ إِلَى عُنُقِهِ وَبَيْنَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى كَعْبَيْهِ بِالْحَدِيدِ قُلْنَا وَيْلَكَ مَا أَنْتَ. So the narrator of this hadith, who is Tamim al-Dari, he said, we went until we came to that monastery and found a well-built person there with his hands tied to his neck and having iron shackles between his two legs to the ankles. And we said, woe upon you, who are you? And he said, you would soon come to know about me, but tell me, who are you? And he said, we are people from Arabia, and we embarked upon a ship and we were lost in the sea, and they told him this their story. It's mentioned again in the hadith, I'm not going to go through it, what happened to them until they reached that island. Then he started asking them questions. He said, أخبروني عن نخل بيسان أسألكم عن نخلها هل يثمر قلت نعم قال أو قلنا نعم قال أما إنه يشك أن لا يثمر. He told them the first question, tell me about the date palm trees of Baysan. Baysan is a city, small city in Jordan nowadays, and it has palm trees and it has some gardens, and wallahu ta'ala alam. And he said, do they bear fruits? Asking about these trees. They said yes. And he said, it will come a time when these trees will not bear any fruits. That's for the first question. And then he said, أخبروني عن بحيرة طبرية. هل فيها ماء؟ قلنا هي كثيرة الماء. قال إن ماءها يوشك أن يذهب. He said, tell me about the lake of طبرية. Where is طبرية? In Jordan or Palestine? Palestine. So the lake of Tabariya is in Palestine. So he asked them about, is there any water in it? So they said, there is a plenty of water in it. He said, it will come a time when there will be no water in this lake. And then he asked them about this water spring of Zughar. And I don't know the location of this water spring, but it could be, it should be, it must be in that area. And then he asked them about the prophet of the illiterates, Nabiul Ummiyin, Al-Bu'ith. He said, yes, he was sent. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. What happened? They said, you know, he had to fight with his people, and now he moved to Al-Madinah, and he's victorious now, and the people in the surrounding areas, you know, submitted to his rule. That was their statement. They were not Muslims, but they heard about the news of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So at the end he said, I am a Dajjal. So at the end, this man, he said, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, I am the Dajjal and would be soon permitted to get out. And so I shall travel in the land. I will enter every town in 40 nights. 40 nights means 40 days. But we'll talk in a different hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam told us details about these 40 days and the nature of these 40 days and what will happen in these 40 days. He said, except Mecca and Medina, as these two places are prohibited areas for me, and there would be angels to guard every passage leading to these two cities, to them, Mecca and Medina. And at the end, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said something, and then he confirmed that he's in the east at that time. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim, is authentic hadith. So that's why the ulama who said that Dajjal cannot be Ibn Sayyad at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was a young boy. But here, because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam lived in Medina only 10 years, he stayed only 10 years. So it's very difficult to believe that he was Ibn Sayyad in one story, a young boy in Medina, around 13 or 14 years old, but at the same time being an adult, chained in a different island in the eastern part of the world. I mean, it's very difficult to put these things together. So this ulama, they said he cannot be a Sayyad. Sayyad Ibn Sayyad was a fortune teller. He accepted Islam. We don't know if he died as a Muslim or non-Muslim. We're not sure about his case. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say anything, did not pass any judgment about Ibn Sayyad, but he confirmed what Tamim al-Dari told him. And if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam confirmed something wrong, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would correct him. We know that. We know for a fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not allow His messenger to make a mistake when it comes to the matter of wahi, and revealing wahi and guidance to the ummah. So that was the story of al-Jassasa or al-Dajjal in the Sahih. Now, is he alive now? Allahu a'lam. Allah knows best. Maybe this man died, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him life at the end of the times, and he will be sent as a Dajjal, Allah Ta'ala alam. So I have no knowledge about it, and the ulama did not talk about it because they have no access to this knowledge. So we talk about the things that are found in the books of Bukhari and Muslim and the sources of hadith, and that's it. Yani we cannot use our own personal interpretation. So Ibn Kathir used to believe that Ibn Sayyad is not the Dajjal because of this hadith of Fatima bint Qais. Ibn Kathir, one of the scholars, famous scholars of Islam, the famous author of the Tafsir, used to believe that Ibn Sayyad was not the real Dajjal. Wallahu ta'ala. The makan khuruj al-Dajjal, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, يخرج من جهة المشرق. من جهة المشرق, يعني from the east. And he said, من خراسان. From خراسان, من يهودية أصبهان. These are confirmed, this is a confirmed information from a hadith. أصبهان, it could be in a province in Iran now. It's called Asfahan. And at the time of the Iranian Revolution, in 1979, there was around the Jewish community there was around 3,000 people in this area, in this city. 3,000 Jewish people. They said after the revolution, the number decreased. Allahu alam, what is going on now from 1979 till now? How many years? 21 plus 15, that's 36 years. Allahu alam. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said when he appears from that area, he will be supported by 70,000 Jews. 70,000 Jews, yani من Jewish people, they will be supporting Dajjal and appearing with him, supporting him, yani he will not be alone. So his trials, I will try to summarize his trials. He will claim at the end, he will claim that he's a reformer, then he's a prophet, and then at the end he will claim that he's God. Number one. He will emerge, as I said, in 40 days, a day the length of a year. And this is something that is unusual. For 1 year, there will be no night. So that's why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, the first question that they got in mind, when he were told, they were told about this, Salah. What are they going to do about their Salah? So they were not concerned about food, they were not concerned about anything. Sahaba radiallahu anhum concerned about the Salah, but hatta you know the value of the Sahaba and the excellence of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Concern about the Salat. What are we going to do? What are we going to do with our Salat? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, estimate. It's difficult to know the timings. It's one year, one day, the length of a year. And the second day will be the length of a month. The third day will be the length of a week. And the rest, 37 days, will be like our normal days. He will traverse the earth like a wind, or like wind-driven rain. This is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That means he will have traversed the earth with a high speed. He said, "Kalghayth istadbarathu ar-rih." This is the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Sahih Muslim. He will have two running rivers. I don't know about the nature of these rivers, but Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one of them will look like paradise, and the other one will look like fire, or the other one in the different hadith. The first one will look like water and the other one will look like fire. And he said, if you are tested and you have to enter one of them, then you go to the one that looks like fire actually. Yes, because that will be the real water. And the one that looks like water is the real fire. This is the nasiha of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this hadith in Sahih Muslim. He will order the rain to fall. Yani this Dajjal will be ordering the sky or the rain to fall in places. When he's pleased with some people, they believe in his message, he will order the sky or the rain to come down in their place. And if he's upset, he's angry with some people, people who reject his claim, then they will be punished. Nas'Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salama wal afiyah. And he will order the earth to produce its vegetation, and will order the earth to bring forth its treasures. This is in Sahih Muslim too. Kitab Fitan, Al-Fitan wa Ashrat al-Sa'a. He will come to a Bedouin. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used the word Bedouin to indicate that the person will have no knowledge, doesn't have knowledge. And he will tell him, how about if I bring your parents to life, I'll give them life again. You will see them, you'll talk to them. Are you going to believe in me? And he said, yes. And there are two shaitans, he said, helping the Dajjal will appear to this man in the form, in the shape of his father and mother, and they will tell him, son, he's your Lord, follow him. This hadith in Sahih Ibn Majah, And the ulama, they said it is authentic. He will be able to kill someone, a young man, and then bring him back to life. Divide him into two parts, bring him back to life, this hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari. So these are the fitan and the trials of al-Masih al-Dajjal. Many things are difficult to believe. The only thing is they are mentioned in Bukhari and Muslim. So these are authentic, or the most actually authentic sources of hadith of knowledge. So we accept this hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Sami'na wa ata'na. Now, how to protect yourself from the fitna of al-Masih al-Dajjal? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, don't try to show your courage and face him. Flee from him. If you hear about him coming to a town or a city, flee from him. The ulama, they said you need to purify your tawakkul. Yani place your tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Increase your dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Train yourself on a daily basis and your children to be connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through dua and supplications. Asking whenever you leave your house, there is a dua that you say. Whenever you come into a place, you are worried about your safety, there is a dua to say. So you train yourself to use these supplications. And so when you meet this, if you meet these trials and these problems, then you could be able, inshallah, to, it will be easy for you to remember these duas. They said the ulama, we need to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his sifat, his asma, names and attributes. Also, memorizing the first 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. There is another narration that says the first 3 ayat, ignore this narration, is weak. There is another narration that is authentic, but the other narration says the last 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. But if you ulama compared between these two narrations, both of them are authentic, but they found actually many scholars of hadith have mentioned the first 10 ayat of Surah Al-Kahf. So Wallahu ta'ala a'lam, yani the first 10 ayat is more authentic than the other narration that says 10 ayat, the last 10 verses of Surah Al-Kahf. But if you memorize the whole surah of Surah Al-Kahf, that would be nice. That would be maybe the best option. And there is a dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam teach or taught the ummah that we are supposed to say at the end of the salah, after Salat al-Ibrahimiyya, after we make tashahud, and we recite al-Ibrahimi salat. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin, kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim, innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammadin, كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. You don't stop here and say السلام عليكم. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised the ummah to say some du'as. One of the du'as, it's a famous du'a that is found in Sahih Muslim. اللهم إن يعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم ومن عذاب القبر ومن فتنة المحيا والممات. Four things. وَمِن شَرِّ فِتْنَةِ الْمَسِيحِ الدَّجَّالِ. I personally believe if a Muslim keeps on reciting this dua every day in his salat, in every salat, and how many salat you do every day, yani the five daily salat, plus the 12 rak'ahs of a sunan al-ratiba, so that's 17. If you add, but there is only one tashahud in every two rak'ahs. So 12 divided by 2, 6 times, right? And the 5 times of the 5 dailies, that's 11. If you add some other sunan, 12 with al-witr, if you add some other sunan, that could be between 15 to 20 tashahud that you perform on a daily basis. Imagine you make this dua, you recite this dua on a daily basis 15 times. Or let's say the minimum, if you do the rawatib, 12 times. Do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not accept your dua? You recite this dua on a daily basis at least 12 times in your tashahud. اللهم إني أعوذ بك من عذاب جهنم. It's a beautiful dua. Seeking refuge with Allah from the punishment of hellfire, from the punishment of the grave, from the trials of mahya wal mat, life and death. All trials, all fitan. And from the evil of the fitna of al-Masih al-Dajjal. Min sharri fitna si al-Masih al-Dajjal. This dua is found in Sahih Muslim. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, use it, say it, recite it after a tashahud or after a salat al-Ibrahimiyya. And the ulama, they said, learn about him, learn about the Dajjal. and teach your children. Now, there are Muslims who believe that this knowledge could be useless now. They said because these things might happen like after 100 years, 150 years. Who told you that? I personally believe that we are at the end of times. This is my conclusion. Feel free to disagree with me, but there are many minor signs that appeared now. They are around us. Some of them have appeared and they are gone. We are done with them. And some of them have appeared and we see them nowadays happening. Now there is a transition that will happen between our world and to the other world of Dajjal and the final days. And in this transition, humanity will lose technology. That's another issue. We might talk about it. It's an area of research for me. I don't want to tell you about something I'm not confident about it. Because this is knowledge and this is deen and we have to be careful about it. But this transition will be the most difficult actually time, because if it is sudden, because it could happen suddenly, there are possibilities backed by scientific evidence. And there are people who are talking, yani NASA and other scientific communities, many communities are talking about this event. One of them is solar storm, a strong solar storm that we destroy all technology. This does not kill people. But this is a possibility, and I don't want to talk about it now. But this will be a difficult time when people lose, you know, technology and everything is shut down. If this happened, then khalas, this is the beginning of that stage of life, that period of time where the Mahdi will come and the fitan will come. Because at that time of al-Mahdi and Isa alayhi salam, people will be using horses. We will know about it. We will mention some ahadith, swords and spears. So, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is describing these things. So people will have no technology at that time. But this transition will be very difficult. It will be very difficult. And our children, if we don't face this events, we don't see them, we don't witness them, our children might witness them. And here comes the importance of knowledge and sharing this knowledge with our children. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Jazakumullahu khayran.